Good evening. Thank Brother Robert for leading our singing. I like those old-timey songs, don't you? There are some beautiful songs that people are writing today, but some of these, like the one we just sang, just be hard to top that, wouldn't it? Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. We got people that get up and go to work every morning without a thought of thanking God, without a thought of why they're here and what their purpose in life is. And it's greatly encouraging to gather together on a Sunday evening with brothers and sisters in Christ and sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. When we pillow our heads at night, we don't have to worry about what might happen. We don't have to worry about it. Sometime in the middle of the night, the spirit leaves the body because it's better than down here. We have many people that are sick. I was thinking as Brother Richard was talking, I could easily name at least 8 that are here that we know firsthand are not well. They don't say a lot. Their name's not on the list. But we have many here that are not in good health, and they come to the services as much as possible, and we are always thankful for that. And I do want to say something about the flowers. I might say it again, Lord willing, next week, because I don't see Terry. But Terry does these flowers. Don't they look beautiful? The amazing thing about it is everybody can see these are artificial. These are made by men. So people have enough sense to know when they look at these, and they can feel them, that they're artificial. Somebody had to make them. And then they walk out and they see the real flowers, and they don't realize they had to be made. They had to be created. Isn't that something that they can believe something that simple? But the ones that are alive and the ones that God made, like we're seeing this time of year, I told Charlotte, isn't it amazing how evolution works? I'm saying that in jest. Isn't that amazing? It just worked out so it's not ugly in the fall. All of these colors are magnificent, are they not? Magnificent. Beauty. Where did it come from? Boy, it sure did come out good, didn't it? Sure came out by accident good. Yeah, and all the mosquitoes and all the birds and all the fish and all the fowl. Boy, they sure did came out good. So we're on the right side when we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when we stay with the Lord, we're going to have everlasting life. And that's the most important thing, to be with the Lord in eternity. This morning, we talked about the perfect Savior, and I mentioned that we've probably studied this for a while. We said, number one, He was perfect before He came into this world. And number two, we said His conception and His birth were perfect. Number three, He was born in the perfect place. Bethlehem, Ephratah, or Bethlehem of Judea, and He was born at the perfect time. Tonight, we want to consider that He had the only perfect Father, and He was the only perfect preacher. Only perfect Father. I want to ask you to turn to John chapter 10 and verse 1. I had some scriptures from this chapter, and I decided this afternoon that it would be better, since we're talking about the Lord and His preaching and about His Father, that we just consider a little bit more information. We're not going to go over, Lord willing, but look at the context a little bit more than what I had originally in the outline. If you read John chapter 9, and this happened at the same time, this sermon came right after Jesus, shortly after Jesus had healed a man born blind. He had never seen in his life. And in the history of the world, it never had happened that somebody born blind could be healed. And Jesus healed him. And the leaders of the Jews would not believe it. His mom told him, he told him, dad, that they asked him a question. They said, you talk to him. He's of age. But the people knew about it. It was verified. They just wouldn't accept it. So it was in that context of John chapter 9 that Jesus gave this lesson on the Good Shepherd. And it's somewhat of an unusual parable, in that in the parable, Jesus is identified as two different things. And I don't know of another parable quite like that. In this parable, he is not only the Good Shepherd, but he's the door to the sheepfold. In the same parable. In John 10 and verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," that means certainly, certainly, truly, truly, this is an absolute fact, "he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." The sheepfold is where the sheep were kept, and they were protected. Very often, they were kept in a place that had stone, and they would put briars on top of it, sort of like we would use barbed wire. And they would try to make it as safe as possible, but the thieves would crawl around and get inside, sometimes the wild animals. And he talks about it, "but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, Jesus is a good shepherd. And he was authorized by God. The Bible foretold that Jesus would be the shepherd of the flock. And the Bible foretold, we'll read about it, where there would only be one shepherd. That's a rather amazing thing, isn't it? That it was foretold, at least it is to me, that you have hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ, and you have the prophet Ezekiel saying there's only going to be one shepherd. In verse 3, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." I think that's absolutely amazing, that a shepherd has a name for his sheep. And he could look at those sheep, and he could say, "Robert, come here." Here comes little Robert right over there. "Hey, look at his sheep, tell him. Come right over here, Robert. Monica, come over here, Monica." It's a little sheep. And then little sheep would come out. And they knew their names. And they knew his voice. Now, somebody else they're not going to follow. That's what we teach as Christians. And we don't have to worry about being lost as long as we're following the Lord. And you'll follow the Lord by following his teachings. And we have those teachings. "So he calleth them by name and leadeth them out." The shepherd leads the sheep. The sheep follow the shepherd. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Now, we follow Jesus because we're his sheep. We're sheep of his pasture. And we know his voice. We have it recorded. We have the voice of the Lord recorded. We read about his teachings. We read about his life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you'll find, if you do read the book of Revelation, that over and over on several occasions, he talks about the testimony of Jesus. That's what he testified, his teachings that he taught the world when he was here. And Christians died for that. Christians were persecuted for that. I don't have any doubt that they are in places persecuted today, and they will be probably much more even in this free country. But Christians are going to follow his voice. In verse 5, "And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." We don't recognize other shepherds. We've got one good shepherd. It is true that the elders are called shepherds of the flock, but there's only one chief shepherd of the flock, and that's the Lord. In verse 6, this parable is an illustration, and an earthly type illustration with a spiritual or heavenly meaning. This has a spiritual meaning, and he gave it to them, the master teacher. But they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, here's a certainly, certainly again, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I notice in many commentaries, maybe most, I don't know, I don't read most, I don't have most, but I know from reading over the years, many, many commentaries, and they say that, you know, this should be translated as gate. They say they didn't have a door, but I've got a very large set of Greek books at the house, and when I looked it up and found out, it said that, in fact, the sheepfold had a door. I've noticed that in a lot of commentaries and a lot of preachers, and they seem like they're just so intelligent and such gifted scholars that they can keep changing things. And our brethren do it all the time. I mean, this is what it means. It can mean gate. I can show you New Testament. But I believe it meant door here. They had a door. And the translators knew that because they were very knowledgeable. I'm the door of the sheep. How many doors you got? Just got one door. You don't want the people coming in and out. There's no exit out there in the back. Only one door is only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I remember when I got out of the school of preaching, went back to my hometown for a while, for about a year, before Charlotte had to take care of me, like Mary and so carefully said. Marion doesn't think about the fact that I have the last word today. But that's okay, Marion. This morning I complimented your wife, said she's doing a pretty good job. Doing a pretty good job. So, one door. I'm the door of the sheep. Maybe you say a gate wouldn't change anything, but I believe it is door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. These are people that claim to be that they know the way. They're going to teach you the way. And about every commentary say a lot of this, probably the Pharisees and Sadducees and the rulers of the Jews and people that would put themselves in a religious position so that they claim to know the way. And they're teaching the people, and what they teach is right. But we know that we had these people present. And I want you to know that the same people we talked about this morning in John chapter 8, you had a lot of them right here at this same time. The same people. They're following Jesus around, trying to find something wrong. Read John chapter 9 and see how they did. So he says, the thief, I am the door, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, you'll have to do something. You have to enter in. And we know from Galatians chapter 3 that you do enter into Christ, that you need to be baptized into Christ. You have to enter in through the door, through Christ. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. You'll have a pasture. You're taken care of. You'll have provisions and promises by God. You don't have to worry about having a place to sleep or food or raiment. The Lord has promised that. We will receive that from the Lord. And so he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Many apply this to eternity, but I think most preachers and most Christians understand that when you become a child of God and you enter into the fold of Christ, you have the abundant life. You have a more abundant life. As a matter of fact, that's when you really begin to live and be blessed. When you know that you have been forgiven. And you know that your sins are washed away. The Bible records that in many different ways, like Acts 3 and 19, blotted out. I like that ideal. And the ideal of that is when a debt has been paid, they blotted out. The Lord has blotted that out. He has forgiven us of our sins. They've been blotted out. And then he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, he could have said, I'm the perfect shepherd. They could understand the good shepherd. But I think the rich young ruler came to Jesus. And he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why you call me good? The only one good, and that's God. He wasn't saying that he wasn't good. But I don't have any doubt that the rich young ruler, he didn't understand how good Jesus was. And Jesus was calling attention to that. Matter of fact, my personal judgment is, he probably said that to other rabbis, and he would call them master and good master. He was not using the word correctly. Son of God was perfectly good. None of us are like that. There's some good people. I believe that State Street has some of the best people that I have ever met in my life. And we've lost a lot of good people, that just wonderful people. But it's still true that only Jesus was perfect. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He hadn't died yet, but he's telling them ahead of time that's what the good shepherd does. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the flock. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Sometimes there are hirelings in the church. They're just preaching for money. Some of them very successful with it. I remember my brother telling me probably 20, 25 years ago, he said, you need to go out. He's going to school out in Texas, because everything's bigger in Texas, right? He said, you need to come out here. He said, all those preachers out here are making $100,000 a year. He said, they got doctors and all these people making money, and he was attending a congregation like that. So you need to move out to Texas. And I'm not saying that people that are paid well like that, I would that every preacher could get that and be supported, but I'm not saying that. But there are some that are hirelings, and they don't care for the sheep. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. We know the Lord. How do you know the Lord? Because we follow the Lord. That's how we know. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. 1 John 2 and 3. We not only know, but we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's how you know the Lord. You do what he says. Are we sinlessly perfect? No. But we can be faithful. I don't think there's an absolutely perfect soldier out there. But I can tell you what, we've had a lot of faithful ones, haven't we? We've had a lot of faithful ones. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, that would be the Gentiles. The sheep would be originally the Jewish people, but he died for the whole world. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Of course, people nowadays say, go to the fold of your choice, right? Go to the fold of your choice. It doesn't matter, but there's only one shepherd. And you're to follow the one shepherd. And the Bible foretold him in the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 23 and 24. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. David there is a type of Christ. David was dead in the time of Ezekiel. He wasn't talking about David, but the son of David, the Christ, the servant. My servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, he is the prince of the kings of the earth. He rules all. He rules all. Acts chapter 3, he is called the prince of light. And in the book of Hebrews, he is the author and finisher of our faith. So he says, I will make He's a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Then Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 24. It's interesting if you know the chapters. You've got two chapters in Ezekiel. In chapter 37 and 24, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. You got one king, got one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. 1 John 2 and 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It means they're not heavy, they're not hard. You can do it. Everybody can. The devil will tell people, you need to put this off. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You need to put all that out of your mind. There's nobody good enough. There's nobody strong enough. And if you don't come to Jesus, you're going to be lost. So he says, only one. I'm going to make a king. One shepherd. This is the same the chapter that we read earlier. If we'd read a little bit further, it was talking about the church, and that's the scripture there in Ezekiel chapter 34 that mentions showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. Well, I want you to drop down. I wanted us to see this. Jesus was, we find him that he's at Jerusalem later on here, and he's teaching. And he's telling them, in verse 24 it says, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered him, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You see, they were not of his fold, because they didn't follow Jesus. The only way you can get in the fold is to go through the door and to follow Jesus. And the only way you can do that is hear his voice. Now listen to this carefully. This is very important. I think it's in some ways the most important thing we're going to say. My sheep, number one, hear my voice. Number two, and I know them. And number three, they follow me. You see that little colon? You don't have to be a scholar. I know the translators put that in there, but he's not through. Okay? He's not through. Sheep, number one, hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, this is the verse where people in the denominational world go to and say, well, once you're saved, you're always saved. That's true if you always follow Jesus. That's what he said. Here's what you want to have eternal life. Yes, it's conditional. Number one, you have to hear his voice. Number two, he knows those that hear his voice. And number three, you have to follow him. In John chapter 6, we have a bunch of disciples, and it says they no longer walked with him. They went away from Jesus. And Jesus turned to the 12, and he said, will you also go away? And Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So you can start off and even be a disciple. There were Jews that were his disciples in John chapter 8. I told you, go read that. And he told those Jews that were his disciples, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You have to continue. You become a Christian. You have to continue to follow the Lord. Now, that's a choice. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. If you love the Lord and you follow the Lord and you follow his teachings, nobody's going to get you. The Father is with you. The Son is with you. You're going to go to heaven. You just need to follow the Lord. And then he tells them in verse 30, I and my Father are one. Boy, we're talking about he had the perfect Father. There's not a Father here that is perfect. Not a Father here. You fathers know that. You wish you could be perfect, right? But there's no perfect fathers down here. Matter of fact, when you become a father, you basically don't know a whole lot. You don't know a whole lot 30 years later, do you? You don't know a whole lot, but there is one perfect Father, and the perfect Father had the perfect Son, Jesus Christ, and He is the perfect Savior. He is a perfect Shepherd. He is a good Shepherd that gave His life for the sheep. Then the Jews took up stones. Now this is good. I have it underlined in red in this New Testament. Again, to stone Him. That goes back to John chapter 8. The first time was when we preached on it this morning, when He told them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And now He says, "I and the Father are one." He's got the perfect Father. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. They're going to take up stones again. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man makest thyself God." And Jesus went on to give an argument from the law. The rulers and governors were sometimes called gods. That word was actually used. And it has to just be used in the sense that He gave them that name because of their special work, maybe somewhat like God who is a ruler, but he points out and makes an argument on that. You know, they said He had a devil. In verse 20 of this chapter, we didn't get to read all of it, but He says, "Many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind?" He's a perfect preacher. He knew what to do to preach to people, to tell them that they needed to come to Him to be saved. That they needed a good shepherd. And He was going to lay, and did lay, His life down for the sheep. And Isaiah says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." You turn away from the Lord and sin, you have to turn away from sin to the Lord. You can do that tonight. Isn't that wonderful? You can do that tonight. This morning, Elijah decided to do that. You talk about encouragement to see a young man like that make a decision. I told him the same thing I told everybody that's baptized into Christ. You will never regret. You will never regret becoming a child of God, becoming a Christian. If you've never been baptized into Christ, it's time to do it. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? There's the water. You can't see it, but I am not lying to you. It's right there. I'm right there. You saw him come up out of the water. He had to wear his clothing because we didn't have any that would fit him. He's really trim. Didn't have any, but he was not afraid to get down in that water. And he was not afraid to confess that Jesus Christ is Son of God. What's holding you up? What's holding you up tonight? If you're not a Christian, do something. Follow the Lord as together we stand and sing.